We will hear more reaction to Governor Walker's proposals to cut income taxes, expand voucher schools, and much more in this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, February 25th. Plus, an update on the mining bill, which comes up for some legislative action this week. As we often do Mondays at this time, we have our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, with us to bring us up to date on the top issues in state politics, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So what do we? What kind of reaction is Governor Walker getting to some of his state budget proposals?
Well, you know, there's a lot in there, and a lot of it was unveiled to us in the weeks prior to this, but as you start to see the whole picture, obviously, he's going to get pushback from Democrats on any of this, but he's also getting some pushback from Republicans in this budget. And we get into that in a minute. I think last time we spoke, about a week ago, we're saying not exactly sure what the governor's budget includes in the way of private school vouchers.
Right.
Story was probably just hitting the wire about that time. It said that the governor is going to expand voucher schools in his budget to 9 new communities in addition to Milwaukee and Racine. And, you know, this is going to be one of the pivotal debates in this budget going forward the next several months, and it's one that the governor wanted to emphasize.
Now, while we work to improve underperforming schools, our children can't afford to wait. This is why we provide new choices for parents in areas where schools are failing to meet expectations.
And so this would be in districts with at least 4,000 kids, where you got a couple schools that are either getting a D or an F under the state grading system. So it opens it up to, you know, districts that might and might not otherwise be pursuing a choice program. Among those, Green Bay and also Madison. Where there's you saw immediately a pretty strong anti-voucher push from the mayor and local officials and state representatives like Democrat Chris Taylor.
You know, this is a community that's going to fight this, that is not going to tolerate Governor Walker coming in, taking away our local control, telling us what we're going to do here in Dane County and with the Madison Metropolitan School District.
And so, and then if you look at the way the governor's budget is set up, he increases funding per pupil in the voucher program at a greater percentage than he would in the public school program. And so there's another kind of, you know, battle line that you can see being drawn over this. He's growing the voucher's budget and decoupling it from the regular school's budget in the way that it hasn't been done in the past. So, you know, for vouchers, definitely he's looking to make a big move forward this session.
Yeah, and it's not just Democrats that are opposed to this. Generally, there are at least a handful of Republicans who aren't thrilled the way this is being set up to expand school choice.
Yeah, you've heard a few of them speak out, and one of the issues that keeps coming up with, you know, for Senate, for example, Senator Mike Ellis of Neenah, Ripon Republican Senator Luther Olson, they want some type of a local referendum to pass before you expand vouchers. The governor has signaled that, you know, he does not want this, that, you know, it should be a question of what's best for the parents and not what a community thinks.
Yeah. And the governor unveiled his proposal to cut income taxes in the state budget address. He says a $343 million income tax cut.
Yeah, this was the item of his budget that he really left the details, you know, till budget day to announce. And I think it's probably because that's what he wanted people to talk about. He's signaled for a while he wants to cut income taxes. And as you mentioned, a $343 million tax cut that by the administration's math would amount to about $106 a year for the average person. So you break that down and, you know, by the administration's numbers, you're talking about roughly $2 a week for the average person. And you also look at what the state would have to do to offer this tax cut. It would shrink the general fund balance at the end of this two-year budget quite a bit. It would bring back a structural balance, which is something that Republicans were really proud to have gotten rid of in the governor's most recent budget. I mean, it's something that's been around for quite a while in Wisconsin. The current budget got rid of it. And it would grow something called the gap deficit, which is what they use, you know, private accountants use to calculate deficits. And it's what they use to decide a state's bond rating. And so you had criticism from a number of angles. Todd Berry with the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance says that, if the goal is to stimulate the economy, there's a few things working against this tax cut.
I mean, you could certainly justify it as a way of compensating for the federal government's misbehavior, but it's not going to be terribly stimulative because, A, it's not a big amount of money. B, all it does is balance the payroll tax increase. And C, it's not going into people's pockets anytime soon because they aren't changing the withholding tables.
So let's look at B and C there real quick. It's not going to offset the payroll tax. I mean, what he's talking about there is as a sort of momentary stimulus or a temporary stimulus in Washington. You had this payroll tax cut, and this year that payroll tax cut disappeared. And so people are feeling that in a much bigger way than they'd be feeling any kind of an income tax cut in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that Todd talked about there, they're not changing the withholding tables. And so essentially what that means is you're not going to get this tax cut until you go to pay your taxes
next year. Until you get your refund
year.
Or whatever, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, when they passed the budget this summer, if they don't adjust those withholding tables, that's mm-hmm. going to be basically a no interest loan to the state for the next several months until tax season.
Yeah, and then there are those who say that this income tax cut favors higher income people over lower income people.
Yeah, and you got to look at the way that the governor structured this. He cuts rates. At the lower end and the middle end of Wisconsin's tax system, and he said that he wants this to be targeted at the middle class, and so he's mm-hmm. cutting middle class rates. But the way the tax system works, if you cut those rates, going on up to $160,000 for individuals, $215,000 for couples, even a millionaire and money that they earn. Up to those levels, they will get a tax cut on that.
Sure.
And that's something that was pointed out by John Peacock of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families.
We're not saying this is like the worst tax cut plan ever. It could have been far more regressive or far more beneficial to high-income tax filers than it is. But any cut in income taxes is going to predominantly help wealthy people. So we'd like to see a broader-based approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also seeing sort of the makings of a tug-of-war in the legislature. On one side, we mentioned some of the Senate Republicans who have issues with the schools budget. Before the governor introduced his full budget, many details were already out there. Luther Olson, Republican senator from Ripon, voiced concerns with the way that this budget would hold state aid to schools basically flat while including this tax increase.
I got to believe that folks in this state, rather than getting a $2 a week tax cut, would rather see their schools get something rather than no increase per student whatsoever. It's all priorities.
And then you got some in the Assembly Republican Caucus think that this tax cut ought to be bigger or at the very least no smaller than $343 million. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, says that, he's going to push for the biggest tax cut that they can afford.
I want the largest, most robust tax cut we can possibly afford because it's not about accounting of future years. It should be about the accounting today, which shows our budget is balanced and more money in the hands of every single taxpayer is good for our economy.
So there you go, the tax cut from umpteen different angles.
Wow, so is it fair to say that there'll probably be some tweaking of that tax cut proposal?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say there'll probably be some tweaking. I think the general rule, though, is when it comes to budgets, governors generally get most of what they want. And, You know, you got to, I mean, it's a tax cut. So even if it's not a huge tax cut, generally it's an easy political sell to say, I want to give you back some of your tax money. So, it sure sounds like there are going to be some tweaks to this budget. We don't know how big they're going to be. We do know that, generally speaking, governors get most of what they want.
We'll get some more reaction to other issues in the proposed state budget and other stories in state politics from the past week. And we'll take a look at the week ahead as well with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org if you have a question or a reaction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Coming up in the second half of our state capitol report, we'll talk with Democratic State Senator Julie Lassa about what she's calling a Republican attack on private sector labor unions in Wisconsin. That's coming up after 7:30. This is our state capitol report. I'm Joy Cardine with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson, who is bringing us up to date on the top stories in state politics. And it was a busy week in state politics last week with Governor Walker unveiling his proposed state budget for the next 2 years. And this budget, Sean, would add hundreds of new jobs to the state government roles?
Yeah, and I mean, this is a governor who's talked about shrinking the size of government. And so when you see an increase there, it certainly, for Republicans, raised some eyebrows. One of the reasons that they've said they're adding these particular positions is that they fall in places that can help the government save money. So there's some that are in revenue, the Department of Revenue. And generally, you add positions in revenue, you're able to collect more taxes that are due to the state. There are positions in the Department of Transportation that are engineering jobs. Right now, the state's contracting out to do a lot of those jobs, bringing them under the state umbrella, even when you have to pay benefits and everything else. Audits have shown that that would actually save the state money. And then there are a lot of jobs that have to do with implementing the federal health care law. And those are some of the ones that Republicans have said, what's going on? Because we're not doing, you know, we're not doing a state-run exchange here. The governor decided to opt out of that. But Department of Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch said after a WisPolitics forum last week that, you know, the state still has to be sort of a front door for the federal health care law.
The state is not implementing the Affordable Care Act, but the Affordable Care Act is still being implemented. It's still being, you know, it's still being done. It's just going to be run by the feds, but it's still being implemented in Wisconsin, and that's the, I think, the distinction of making sure you have the people to do that.
And in all, Sean, we're talking 710 positions,
right,
in health care and revenue and transportation.
And those are the three biggies, yeah.
No, a quick aside to the health care, there's a new health care secretary coming in. The Health and Social Services Secretary has resigned.
Yeah, Department of Health Services Secretary Dennis Smith offered his resignation last week. He's going to go work for a Washington law firm alongside, you know, some other noteworthy names, including Howard Dean. So he's taking his expertise there. Dennis Smith's not your average health services secretary. He's somebody who ran the Medicaid system under former governor or former president George Bush, so a national expert that the governor was able to bring in here for the beginning of his term, and you know, basically crafted this huge change in state Medicaid policy that really a shift from what the state's been doing for 14 years. Unveiled that to the public, and now he is leaving, and picking up where he left off is going to be Deputy Secretary Kitty Rhodes. Kitty Rhodes, a former state lawmaker, longtime ally of, you know, Mike Hipsch there, who you heard during their time in the legislature. So she'll be the new Secretary of Department of Health Services.
Back to the proposed budget. I know the governor was talking about spending a lot of money on transportation infrastructure.
Yeah, and there was a question of how is he going to do this, mm-hmm. and we already knew that some of it was going to be he was going to borrow more and sell some state property to pay off those bonds. But as the borrowing numbers become more clear, this is another area where Republicans who are really, you know, who are going to call the shots here have raised some concerns. And Secretary Mike Hipsch said that right now it makes financial sense for the state to do this.
The cost of money is extremely cheap right now. Mm-hmm. And so while we'll be paying these off over 20 years, we can lock in very low rates, mm-hmm. especially when we know there are things that we are going to have to do. You know, we have to do some upgrades. We have to maintain buildings and things along those lines, and we have to build new buildings. And so if we know we're going to be doing that in the next couple of years, why not do it now when the cost of money is as cheap as it is? Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, a policy decision there, but this is an administration with a governor who's said that the state spends and borrows too much. And so when borrowing goes up, you heard some, like, you know, Speaker Voss say, we have concerns with that.
The UW system is pleased with what the governor is proposing in terms of spending for it.
Sort of a notable lack of criticism there. It seems like every budget for the last, several years, there's been the universities off and on kind of gotten killed in the budget. And this time around, the quote from David Ward, the interim chancellor at the UW-Madison, he said, "This is the best budget we have seen in many cycles."
Mm-hmm.
They got $181 million in state funding in the budget, and notably, this budget would give them autonomy, you know, freedom to decide how to spend a lot of that on their own, which is something the university has wanted. So, while public schools, K-12 public schools, definitely not happy with the way this budget treats them, the higher ed, at least at the UW, the UW. Has so far been pleased in their public comment.
Yeah, we have to kind of go quickly now because we're coming close to news. But one thing that there has been some criticism of the university and other agencies as well is the so-called double dipping, and the governor wants to reform that.
Yeah, this is one of a few pieces of policy that were stuck in this budget. That it would go after double dipping, where somebody a state university worker retires, draws a pension, comes back to work for the state as well. There's a proposal in there that would deregulate the rent-to-own industry, make it so they don't have to publish interest mm-hmm. rates for the stuff that they sell, and they would end local residency requirements like the city of Milwaukee's. So that's a huge issue if you're in Milwaukee.
Right. There is new job numbers, and it shows a slowing economy.
Yeah, these are what the administration refers to as actual job numbers. And it's kind of harkens back to some of the debate you heard during the recall. And these are detailed, like a census of employers. They come from unemployment insurance records. And they show that from September of 2011 to September of 2012, the state added 20,000 plus jobs, 20,481 jobs. You know, from the administration's perspective, they highlighted the fact that this is actually a lot more than these monthly surveys had shown. These monthly surveys had shown the state lost a few thousand jobs during this time. In fact, the state gained 20,000 jobs. Put it in context, though, you look back at the same period a year earlier, so September 2010 to 2011, the state actually added during that period 40,000 plus jobs. So a huge drop off there, a drop off mm-hmm. anyway of the state's economy. And this is over a period when the governor has said that we're going to be adding jobs post-recall. It included a few months of that.
Well, a quick recap on the primary results, especially for State Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah, State Supreme Court Justice, the two candidates who emerged were Justice Patience Rogensack and Marquette University Law Professor Edward Falone. Rogensack had 64% of the vote to Fallone's 30%. Vince Megna, Lemon Law attorney, only got 6% of the votes. So Rogensack and Fallone for the election in April, and at least in round one, she got more than twice as many votes as he did.
Yeah, and there was a race in the 98th Assembly District.
Yeah, and it looks like it was a close finish and a five-way contest, but it looks like Republican Adam Nalin is going to be the representative there, and that's going to give Republicans a full 60-seat majority now that that open seat is filled. So in the Assembly, they'll be able to do really what they want.
All right. Well, today we have some action on the mining bill.
We have the Joint Finance Committee, the legislature's budget committee, is going to approve the mining bill today. And, you know, we'll see what kinds of tweaks they made to get the votes, because you assume if it's coming out of here, likely going to have some changes that were designed to get Republican support in the Senate. And Republican sponsor Tom Tiffany said that, he'd like to move this to the full Senate floor for a vote as early as Wednesday. So it could be, if indeed the Senate votes on it this week, this thing could move pretty fast.
I assume that there's going to be some protest over this.
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue that was, we're not talking Act 10 type protests with tens mm-hmm. of thousands, but a very emotional issue. Especially for people in the North, and especially for Wisconsin's Native American tribes. And so I think you'll probably see their presence felt and heard as this thing moves through the legislature.
All right. Sean, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll listen for your reports and presumably talk to you next week to see what happens. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We will talk more state politics coming up after the news. We'll welcome in Democratic State Senator Julie Lassa of Stevens Point. She'll talk about a GOP bill that she is concerned about that is making its way quickly through the legislature that she says goes after private sector union rights. That's coming up on the State Capitol Report.